I love singing that word, hallelujah. It's my favorite word in the whole of the world. It means praise God or praise Yahweh. If you ever sneak and steal my journals, you'll find them quite boring, but peppered right through it on every page, there will be numerous hallelujahs. As I'm writing worship out, I can't help but write hallelujah. I am a rubbish writer. You cannot read my scroll, but you can read my hallelujahs. I've written it so many times, it just flows off my... I use an ink pen that I dip into a bottle to do my journals with. But anyway, it's a great, great word, hallelujah. The other word we use a lot is amen, which just simply means yes. I was talking to my dad yesterday, and Dad's doing a lot of reading and really enjoying himself reading Christian books. And he'd been reading a guy called Eugene Peterson, who's the guy who many of you know wrote The Message, part of the Bible. And he was saying, Eugene Peterson was just emphasizing that when you're saying amen, you're saying, yes, yes. And if you never knew what amen meant, it's kind of, most of us think, oh yeah, that's the end of the prayer. Right, it's a good signal, isn't it? But what were you really saying when you're saying amen? You're saying, yes, Lord, let it be. So, I wonder what kind of questions you want to ask when you get to heaven, and who you want to ask them of. Earlier on this week, Pastor Ian and I were sitting talking about preaching, and invariably on a Tuesday morning when I meet with Ian, we'll talk about his preaching. He's allowed to talk about mine, but he's very polite, and I'm not as polite. So we were chatting about his preaching and stuff like that, and I've forgotten what I was going to say now. Don't you just hate it when your brain just leaves you, disengages from your mouth, so... We were talking about stories, how a lot of our preaching is what we call propositional truth. So we take a passage of scripture and we turn it into three points, as if there were ever three points there, and as if the writer of that particular passage of scripture deliberately wrote it in a way that we would find three points. And so much of the Bible is story. And we're told when we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, that they said that when Jesus spoke to vast crowds, all he ever did was speak in stories, parables. And yet as preachers, we don't do that. Because if I don't do that, you haven't had a sermon. And you need three points to go home and chew over your beef with, or pork, or whatever you're having for lunch, or whatever, you know. So, but anyway, you're going to get a story this morning, and it's a mother's story. What would you ask Mary? The mother of Jesus. What would you ask her when you get to see her face to face, which one day you will, hopefully? What would you say? And so this is a story based entirely around simply asking Mary some of the questions that she might have had in her heart too. But first of all, Tina's going to come, another mum, and going to tell us a little bit of Mary's story from the Bible. Thanks, Tina.
Morning, everyone. Morning. There's two readings. First reading is from chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. That's Luke 2, verses 25 to 35. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he seen the hand of Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you have dismissed your servant in peace, for your eyes have seen our salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of the people, the light of revelations to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The second reading is from John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. That's John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to this disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, his disciple took her into his home. This is the word of the Lord.
Mothers keep things in their heart and watch their children grow and wonder what they're going to be and where in life they'll go. Mary was a ponderer. She'd learnt the vital secrets of thought and meditation, to see and hear without having to speak. Mary knew the art of inner conversations. Did this come from the shock of the Annunciation? From the moment when the angel met her to say she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, expecting the Son of God? Unmarried, with child, bearing the looks, the shame, the disgrace, the stigma of something, her society, her community, even her husband-to-be poured on her, the accusations of immorality, of sin. Mary, how did you respond to the looks, the taunts, the blame? "I'm innocent, I'm pure, I'm pregnant. God has made me this way. I'm having his child." Or did you ponder? Did you simply, quietly, humbly stay silent? Did holding the joy and the heaviness of it all weigh on you, Mary? Did you put in a place of prayer and quietness, where you learnt the fine art of pondering? Or when you could speak, you did. Fleeing to your cousins, you could form a pact of friendship with one who knew. Elizabeth had said, "Blessed is she who believes what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary, your response, well, it was magnificent. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." All the pent-up tensions, the hope, burst out in joy and praise and an amazing proclamation of all that God intended to do through you, through the child you now bore for him. Oh yes, when you could speak, Mary, you did. Deep, profound words born on the wind of the Spirit of God. And how did you answer Joseph? You told him fearfully that you were pregnant through a miracle. You did it as carefully and as tentatively as you could. But his reaction, his anger, his demand for a divorce, the hurt in your heart that night as you probably sobbed yourself to sleep. Did you ever wish this God thing, this promise of a saviour that had made you pregnant, well, with all the pain and the shame and now a divorce, when you're innocent of everything but obedient to God, did you ever wish it wasn't happening? Carrying God in your heart, never mind in your womb, has consequences you may not ask or wish for. Mary, did you sob your heart out in relief when Joseph told you about his dream and that he would marry you, make an honest woman of you? That a man, never mind Elizabeth, a man believed you. Your man believed you. Did tears mix with joy that day? Did your heart sing, your hopes lift back to God? Did you rejoice in and bless his name in silent song that things were turning out right after all? Mary, what did you ponder on the road to Bethlehem? Heavily pregnant, newly married. Where will all this lead? What is God thinking? How does a baby born into a family like mine become our saviour? How can he become Messiah? What was it Joseph said of the angel? He will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. How? How will all this happen? On Mother's Day, the baby came. The pain. No one told you it would be like this. Well, what did God say to Eve? I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Children? You mean you put up with all this pain and then want more children? How does that work? What thoughts, Mary, as you became a mother? What thoughts as you took this God child and put him to your breast to suckle? What poured from you as you held this normal, very normal baby and simply loved him? Mothers keep things in their hearts and watch their children grow and wonder what they're going to be and where in life they'll go. Then to Jerusalem, a very special journey to give this life back to God, to thank and praise him and to make a special sacrifice for your cleansing, which because you are poor would be a pair of doves. But the surprise at the temple when old Simeon took the baby from your arms and spoke. He spoke powerfully, prophetically over baby Jesus. All very wonderful, but when he looked at you, Mary, he said words to make you quake and tremble, and a sword will pierce your soul too. Right there and then, it went like a dagger to your pondering heart. What did that mean? What would it mean? What will happen to him? What will become of me? How do you let your child become a man? This baby whose nappies you changed, whose tumbling cuts and bruises and tears you cleaned and bandaged and comforted. How, when he gets to a man's age, 13, do you let him go? Let him grow? Well, you do let him go, and then you lose him, literally. For 3 days you panic and search and go without sleep, and then you find and you pour out relief and anxiety into one simple mother-like sentence. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And his reply, typical of a teenager, but a teenager with a difference. He'd not been found with the lads, but amazing the men, the scholars at the temple. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? Mothers keep things in their hearts and watch their children grow and wonder what they're going to be and where in life they'll go. So this is where it begins, where all this saviour of the world starts. My father's business, not Joseph's, not carpentry, but God things. So Mary, as he grew up obedient to you, growing wise, growing in favour with God, with whom you also found favour, like mother, like son, growing in favour with men. So Mary, did you ponder these things? We know you did. We know you stored them in your heart. Your heart became a treasure chest of these precious memories, sacred thoughts, understandings, knowings about your God, babe, your God boy, your God become man, God man. And then he left. When he and all his brothers were grown up, he was baptized by John, disappeared into the wilderness for over 5 weeks. Did you know? Did you know this was it? The moment you'd wondered about for over 30 years, the time when his father's business became kingdom, not carpentry. Did you know he would go, become a leader, a rabbi, a teacher, a healer, deliverer? Had you seen the signs in his childhood, in his youth? Did you ever tell him? Did you tell him the wonder of his birth, the story of the shepherds and the angels? Did he ever ask about the gold? Did you keep the frankincense? Did you store the myrrh? When people loved him and applauded him, what did you ponder then? That's my boy. When others hated him, what injustice, what grief hurt your heart? That's my boy. Was it embarrassing when he seemed to disown you and yours to all and own all as his family? Here am I, mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Did that sting? Did it seem like there were things and family greater than and more important? That did it seem like you were on the back seat? Did he ever meet you later to explain? Did you understand? Mothers keep things in their heart and watch their children grow and wonder what they're going to be and where in life they'll go. That fateful week in Jerusalem, when did you arrive? Were you in the ladies' entourage with Susanna and Joanna and Mary, helping out, serving, making meals? How did you receive his words about going away? His seeming sure understanding that he would be betrayed, handed over, crucified. Did you understand what he said when he said he was the resurrection and the life? His disciples didn't, but did you? Your heart, when you got the news that he was arrested, fear, adrenaline, anxiety, distress, had you seen where all this led? Like a mother, you desperately wanted to rescue him, to somehow go and defend him. Did faith, trust and hope hold you back? Did all your pondering bring you to an inner knowing that this was the Saviour's path, that he had to tread it? When you saw him on the Via Dolorosa, the way to the cross, and your heart burst with pain and brokenness for his broken body. When you saw him carry his cross and stumble, did you reach out to help before the soldiers grabbed Simon the Cyrene to make him carry it for them? And then when you stood at the foot of the cross, did the other women hold you up? Because you were so broken, so bereft, in so much grief that its pain grabbed your heart and creased you in two, crippling your steps and dragging your own life breath from you? Did it seem that his death would become your death too? And did you remember? Did you recall, did the words of Simeon the prophet in the temple 30 years ago echo down into the pain of your present, and a sword will pierce your own soul too? Mothers keep things in their heart and watch their children grow and wonder what they're going to be and where in life they'll go. Then it became a mother's day. He said little upon the cross, but what he said was so vital, so eternally poignant, so life-giving. In your dying, he spoke life. In his dying, he spoke life and gave you a new mother's day. Looking at you and his beloved friend, he said to you, "Woman, here is your son." And to his friend, he said, "Here is your mother." Mother's Day. This dread day, which cloyed with darkness, became a new day for you. As in his dying, caring for the whole world, he cared for you. Mothers keep things in their hearts, watch their children grow and wonder what they're going to be and where in life they'll go. In his dying, caring for the whole world, he cared for you. And Mary, was there a moment when all you knew about your godson, all you'd heard, all you saw, was there a time when you bowed low before him and gave your life utterly to him and received him as your own saviour? When you, his mother, became his child as you owned him, Lord and Saviour. You bore him, but he bore you. You knew great pain, and he carried that pain in his body on the cross. You gave him birth, but then he gave you life. You were his mother, but he, through all he did at the cross, brought you to his Father. And on that resurrection day, did you see your son alive again? Alive with hope, alive with joy, alive with wonder, because his new life, his brand new eternal life, was yours as well. Mothers keep things in their hearts and watch their children grow. Let's pray together. We began this service by saying that every single one of us who follows Jesus are in his family. We are his mother and sisters and brothers. And even this morning, it may be that you've never ever thought of yourself that way. You've never ever taken the step of asking Jesus to receive you. And maybe Mary's story touches your heart, hopefully emotionally, because it's the story of a mother who saw her son dying on a cross. But Lord, we would long that you receive Jesus spiritually, that you take him into your heart and you become part of his family. Because all that he did on the cross, he did for you. And all you need to pray this morning is, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Receive me. Make me a child of the living God. Lord, welcome me into your family." make me your own. And if that's you this morning, you've never ever taken that step before, then please take that step. This is what we're about here in this church. We're about encouraging, calling, even challenging people to take a step into the kingdom of God. And I'd love to pray with you afterwards if you come and grab a hold of me and say, I want to take that step, or I prayed that simple prayer this morning. We'd love to encourage you on the path. Service isn't quite over. We're going to come in worship and thankfulness at the foot of the cross. And then after that, the children have been in junior church this morning and they've been preparing a gift for mothers. So after we've sung this song, the children have come back in. And I think the general rule of thumb is if you're a lady and you're over 18, then it's for you. So I'll leave it for you to decide. If you're a lady, you're over 18, there's a gift for you. Let's stand to sing. Thank you.